Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And thank you very much. It's really good to be here. And we are from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to the north. This is Safety Wars. For Thursday, October 24th, 2024. Sorry we're a little bit late here. We had a problem with the microphone. Needless to say, it went right in the garbage. Yes, it did. Anyway, a lot going on today. The streamers are kicking in. One of those days where we had a lot of stuff going on during the day. We had a very successful event last night with the New City Troop 97 Court of Honor for October 2024. We were in charge of the AV there. Everything worked out well. One of our microphones went bad. I've never had a microphone go bad, but I guess it does happen. We got that little buzz and everything. So right before, you know, I got a buzz, I had to get the other mic. You know, we had issues. But we are here now. How did you like the new song there? You're going to be getting more and more songs that are appropriate. That is the Safety Wars Anthem. Version 2, we have others we'll be trying out from time to time that are safety related. And so what are we going to talk about tonight, right? Our opening monologue here. We're talking tomorrow at the Association, American Society of Safety Professionals in Pomona, New Jersey. Pomona, New York. Pomona, New Jersey is where Richard Stockton University is, but We are speaking at the Fire Training Center for Rockland County tomorrow. If you're in the neighborhood, I know we have a couple of listeners out there. Dan, Lieutenant, now he's Captain Dan or Chief Dan. He called me up this morning, this afternoon and said, hey, Jimmy, are you going to be talking tomorrow? I said, yes, I will. He said, okay, good. So I will be seeing tomorrow, Captain Dan. So we used to call him Lieutenant Dan when I worked with him. That's what's going on for tomorrow. And again, we made a little bit of updates to the leadership thing. So come on by. We do have a bowl of candy for tomorrow, right? Because they're right close to Halloween. Bowl of candy. Come down. Get some candy. Hang out. Have some fun. So we're getting close to the election here, and I just wanted to point out with everything going on here in our world and safety, outside of safety and everything else, lying. Two things I want to talk about, lying. We will soon find out very shortly. In less than 2 weeks now, this is actually causing people a lot of psychological harm, this election. You're causing a lot of families. A lot of families broken up, a lot of people arguing, friends who are not friends anymore. We have all different types of disagreements from people in our workplaces, at home and everything. We should not let the politicians impact us, or any politician impact our personal and family relationships. That's not cool. It's not conducive to anything that we're doing out there in life. Causes too much animosity. In less than 2 weeks, we're going to find out who was lying and who was not lying. Why do we say that? We have truth. We have the polls saying one thing, polls saying another thing, and make sure that you go back on Wednesday or Thursday, find out what polls were correct and not correct. So in the mid-2000s, a lot of political commentators were lamenting the fact that the polls did not all of a sudden became the story. And one famous broadcaster went out there and he said, look, we're here to talk about issues, opinions, information, education, and everything else. This is what we're here for, and discussion. And, yeah, we'll have disagreements, and you learn things about disagreements. We are not here to talk about polls. Now it seems that all that we're talking about in politics today is the polls. And some polls are weighted towards one side, while some polls are weighted towards the other side. And it's nutty, and they go running tolls, right? With everything. So I'm going over, and I cannot share this on the screen because it's all copyrighted and everything else. I don't have permission, but I will comment on it. So I'm clicking over. I'm on realclearpolitics.com. That's usually a pretty reliable source that goes either way. So here we have and polls coming all the way, election polls, all right? Name of race. We have the national, right? So we have Wall Street Journal has Trump ahead by 3. Trump versus Harris, CNBC, Trump up by 2. Remember, there is like a 3 to 4% margin of error. TIPP, I'm not sure what that is, TIPP. Tip Insights, never heard of it. I'm assuming that this is a pretty reliable thing. If it made real clear politics, I'm relying on them. Harris by 3, Trump versus Harris and Rasmussen is Trump ahead by 2. And last week it was the other way. So this is getting down to nitty gritty. One goes one way, one goes the other. But as we know, in the United States, this really doesn't matter. What matters is the Electoral College. So If we go into the Electoral College here, where is this? I just had it and I lost it. If you go into the Electoral College map here, let's see what the breakdown is here. Hold on. What's their breakdown? Real killer polling. Let's bring this on back. Election 2024. Okay, Electoral College map. This is where people are freaking out. And you know what? I'm going to throw caution in the wind. I'm going to share the screen right here. So I will describe it if you're on the audio portion of this, and you will see it on the video portion. This is why people are freaking out. This is Electoral College thing. So as a reminder, to those of you, and we have listeners in Singapore, we have listeners in Canada, we have listeners in Europe. We do not elect the president in the United States by popular vote. We elect the president by Electoral College vote. It's like a balancing system. My cousin in Germany, Carl, had asked me about this in 2020 on this and explain it to him. And he said, you know what? Nobody talks about this, what this is. So when they were there with the Constitutional Convention 1786, 1787, something like that, they were, they had the big states. And then, right, the original 13 colonies, plus they had other ones by that time, 1789, I believe. They had other ones. But the big states, right, where the population centers were, they were going to be electing all the president and everything else. So they came up with a weighted system. So the small states have a little bit of a say with the big states, right? And it settles things out, because I tell you what, in New York, which is a very large state, 28 electoral college votes, the downstate people, like me, or in New York, specifically further south of us, in New York City, and Nassau County, I believe it is, the western half in Long Island, right? That's where the population center is. Do you want them deciding for the whole state what we're going to do? Well, this is what happens for a governor's race, where the upstate people, Albany, Syracuse, and a lot of those people feel that the they're not getting represented in the gubernatorial races because, or in the Senate or the Assembly, because all the population centers control everything. It's rural areas, different outlook than urban areas. And that's how the wisdom goes nowadays. Back then, you know, the smaller states said, look, we're going to get crowded out by New York, Virginia, Pennsylvania here and everything. You know, it wasn't a good thing. So they came up with a weighted system. Now, I have the Electoral College map here. And this is what it comes down to. There are you need 267 votes for a... 270 votes for to win the presidency. Right now, according to the polling, and this polling may or may not be relevant, Harris is at 215, Trump and Vance 219, with 104 toss-ups. So on the toss-up end, and again, these are leans Trump here, likely Trump. On the other side, leans Harris, and then likely Harris. So you have the toss-ups here. Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nebraska. So out of those 104, you need, let's do some quick math. Trump needs 51 votes, electoral college votes. Now, and that on the other end, Harris needs 255 votes on that. So we're in there, you know, nitty gritty. This could go either way. It's essentially a 50-50 race. Now, let's say And I think this is why a lot of people are freaking out here. I'm sorry for going all over here. There's a place here. That's why a lot of people are freaking out here on this, because if these toss-up states break for Trump, Trump wins. They break for Harris, Harris wins. And it may be a nail-biter, and it may not be over until much later after Election Day, especially when you consider the provisional ballots, provisional absentee ballots, voting by mail, and all the other things out there, and a number of lawsuits. So this is going to be, I plan on broadcasting on that night on another platform, probably Rumble here, on all the political stuff with this. Maybe a YouTube and maybe Facebook. We'll see how this goes here, because I don't know. This is scary here, you know, with this, that we're going to be doing this again here. Now, if you scroll on down, solid Harris, 139 votes, solid Trump, 93 votes. Now, depending on what scenario here that we're looking at here, here's the Real Clear Politics electoral map right here. That's for state. How about no toss-ups? What does that look like? With the way things are polling now, we're looking at with no toss-up states, where they break for who they're leaning towards in the polls right now, right? Their prediction is Trump 312, Harris 226. That's an issue here with no toss-ups. How about with the Senate map here? We're looking at the end of the night, there are five toss-ups here. Republicans will definitely, according to Real Clear Politics, 51 to 44. I don't know. Well, we'll see how it goes. There are five toss-ups, so we may have 49. So here you have 46 seats are safe. Now, in the Senate, one-third of the Senate is up for election every 2 years. So what they're saying is that 46 of those seats are definitely safe. All right, and 46 are safe, plus 5, 51. Right, so five of those are probably going to lean Republicans retain the Senate. Looks like light blue. I'm assuming that is leans, right? Leans. We're looking at a possible pickup of Montana for the Republicans. Leans Democrat for light blue. And that's Arizona, Maryland, and New Mexico. Toss-ups are Michigan, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. So this is going to be, you know, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. Now let's look on down to the Senate with the no toss-ups. GOP picks up two seats here without the toss-ups, how the polls are going right now. So 51 and 49. The House map, that's going to be interesting. Are they predicting? They're predicting Democrats have 196, the Republicans 307 with 32 toss-ups. I don't know. Here, this is a very rough, tough race here. This is my own race, New York, 17th District. They're saying Lawler is, looking up at, hold on, what's this? Lawler at 50.4, who's Maloney? Is that for this year? Yeah, generic. Okay, because we got I think they got the name, the wrong one here. Hold on. Okay, here we go. From Emerson College polling. Michael, here we go. Yeah, okay. New York. I was confusing how they had it. So Here we have Mike Waller, who is our current person, and Mondaire Jones, who was our former congressperson. So they're basically in a locked 44-45-44 with 7% undecided. With that, I have my own opinions. I'm not going to share those opinions with that. And I said OSHA news and views, but, you know, 32 toss-ups here, and they don't really go with that. So this could go either way. And for the gubernatorial map, majority Republicans is what they're predicting for that. So I don't know. We'll see what this is. A lot can happen in the next 2 weeks. I intend to vote on Saturday. Saturday or Sunday. We'll see how it goes here. Pardon me. I don't know. So let's go to our first commercial break, and I promise you, we will talk about safety, but this is all about safety because this is psychological safety. What's really going on here? What's the important things? You can see why the Harris administration, Vice President Harris and Tim Walz, they're freaking out. That's how I see this. Trump, on the other hand, don't get too comfortable here. Race isn't over on this end. Don't sit back on your laurels if you intend to win. If you're Harris, I'm calling it like I see it. There's some panic here that they're not going to retain the White House for whatever reason. But as I said previously here, I'm discussing this because I do have some experience with presidential politics in the real world, not in the podcast world and not anywhere. And not on the keyboard, right? Not on the keyboard warrior world here. I wanted to share that with you. The other thing is this. If we are letting these folks run the show and run our lives, that is a problem. That is really a problem. Now, what's going to happen when this all comes to fruition here on November? Let me make sure I get the date right. November 5th, the evening of it. If any of these candidates win, I think things are so... Everyone's at each other's necks here. Things are so divided. I think, my opinion, Jim's opinion, not Safety FM's or Jay Allen or anyone else's, I think that we should be ready for violence. I'm sorry, in the streets with some people. My opinion, I don't want to call alarm. I'm going to tell you exactly what I told people on January 6, 2021. I got phone calls from several of my old political buddies. Hey, are you going down on Washington? I said, no, I'm not, because there's going to be a problem. So I'm telling you, there's going to be a problem here. I want everybody to sit home, calm down. If they want to go protest something, peaceful protest. But I don't think they're going to be peaceful. So I'm going to tell everybody, just stay home. Well, tune into Safety FM. Some of the old stuff here. Relax. Calm down. However, be prepared for whatever, depending on what it is, what you're doing. Well, what should we do, Jim? How should we prepare? I'll tell you how we prepare. We had September. We just finished September, Disaster Preparation Month. Prepare for disaster. Prepare. Well, hey, let's say you work in New York City. And I don't know anything, if there is anything going on in New York City. In New York City, you go, right? Hey, maybe I'm not going to make it into work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? 6th, 7th, and 8th, right? You're in another population center, any of them. And maybe we're at work if you get a thing. Hey, let's go down and protest. We don't like the things. You know what? You go and take the protest. You go ahead and you... Go ahead without me. You know, I got stuff going on, blah, blah, blah. I'm calling for no violence. I'm not even calling to protest things, except what they are, the thing. Why? The minute that someone starts the violence, they lost on this. look at what's going on with, we're still hearing this from 2021, all different things going on. Well, no, it was stolen election. It was this. It was that. This was good because of this. Good. Okay. Regardless, we had President Biden and Vice President Harris. Regardless of the situation, when they do the Electoral College, which is probably the first Tuesday in January, whatever day that is, guess what? Whatever the results are, the results are. We cannot go down and the path of violence here. How about we all get along the day after the election? How's that? How about you try to reconnect with people that maybe you lost track of because of this? Unity and everything? I don't know. Maybe that's foolish. I don't know. But what the hell do I know? I'm just a guy here on the internet.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Posel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Posel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple, in an unpredictable world.
All right, we're available all over. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button here. Okay. OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Yes, Jessica, I am your father. All right. So, let's talk about this here. Through a share screen, we're going on over to the Department of Labor news releases. Listening to HOP, Human Harmony, by Safety Warrior. By the Safety Warrior, the group. Everybody's got their own excuse. Context drives behavior. The past and present shape our destiny. The way you now, act is not just up to me. U.S. Department of Labor obtains judgment to recover 442,000 in back wages, damages for 29 workers at four Milwaukee area chicken restaurants. A federal court has ordered the operators of four Milwaukee chicken franchise restaurants to pay $442,000 with this for willful things, allegedly. The action comes after the department's found on March 7, 2021 to March 8, 2023, the employer violated federal regulations by paying employees straight-time pay rates for overtime hours over 40 in a work week, failing to pay employees the required minimum wage, and not maintaining complete and accurate time records. All right, we're going to go through a couple of these really quick here. Here we have federal judge orders Florida water park. All right. Federal, hold on. All right. I lost it here. Department of Labor investigation for a worker's serious injuries. Okay, we already, nope, wrong one. All right. I'm all discombobulated today. Federal judge orders Florida water park to pay $150,000 in penalties after Department of Labor again finds child labor violations. All right. Here we have another one here. All right. I can scroll through this whole thing here and find child labor law things where you have people hiring children. Here we have U.S. Department of Labor announces collaboration with New York to promote labor law compliance and child labor enforcement. There's a theme here that I'm going through here. So I had this in here. Okay. Associated Press. Here. This is a story from... You can say, why are you going through this? This is so long ago. October 2nd, 2024. So it's not that old. 22 days ago. The story is by Melissa Golden in the AP. Republicans, including President Donald Trump, have recently claimed that hundreds of thousands of migrant children who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border unaccompanied are missing, then criticized the border policies of the Biden administration and Democratic nominee VP Kamala Harris. We have 320,000 children. This is Vance said this. Senator Vance, that the Department of Homeland Security has effectively lost. Well, here's a closer look at the facts. Okay, so AP is saying Guvno on that. Horse Guvno. The claim represents the information in August report published by this. Now, this is what annoys me here. The report noted, this is from the Associated Press, not Jimmy Polzel here. Not Safety FM. Right? So this is from the Associated Press. Report noted more than 291,000 unaccompanied migrant children had not, as of May 24th, received a notice to appear in court. Additionally, more than 32,000 unaccompanied migrant children got a notice to appear but then failed to show up. Those figures came from ICE, right? But experts say that it's a stretch to refer to 300,000 children as lost or missing. It's not a missing kids problem. It's a missing paperwork problem. Oh. Why don't we try that defense the next time you're dealing with any federal agency? I didn't intend. This is a paperwork problem. It's paperwork. Try that on your next OSHA audit when OSHA shows up and knocks on your door. Right? Paperwork. Oh, okay, great. Now we have in New York here, we also have a case here. In police task force finds over 40 missing children in New York. This is out of Buffalo from a week ago. First of its kind missing child rescue task for 40 children missing. And we also have the Biden-Harris administration is saying they're collaborating with New York for labor law compliance and child and labor enforcement. The same day as that report I just read, a day later. Could it be that the children that they sort of like have paperwork issues with, that they can't haven't tracked that, they haven't appeared, maybe they're ended up as illegal laborers? Maybe these things are connected? I don't know. A little bit conspiratorial, but you haven't gotten that deep into the conspiracy yet with some of the stuff that I've been researching. So what's my point here? Maybe all this stuff is connected. My question here is, what is the immigration status of those 40 kids? Are those 40 kids part of the 300 and some thousand, you know, that didn't make court or were they lost track of or they didn't serve summons to? Or where are those? What are their status? So this is where the press releases that are usually favorable to the current administration. I mean, when it was Trump, they were last time they were favorable to Trump and Obama favorable to it. That's nothing new. Nothing wrong. I'm not calling anyone malfeasance. But maybe the question has to be asked, are these missing children, quote-unquote missing, are they ending up in the labor force? What are they, and when they make one of these busts, what's going on? And they're finding children all over the place. Right here, a big article came out in Low HUD a couple of years ago. Right here, end of my street, you go out here, you go down, and you're going to find Route 59 in Rockland County. Right, I was working for a company doing safety training. I don't do it anymore. Where there, we'll just say a real seedy hotel, where real seedy, as my father would say, hotel over there. I'm in the lobby, right? They rented out the banquet hall there to do safety training, and they're talking the people in the lobby doing shameful things. We'll leave it at not safe for work things. And they were videotaping them so you can figure out. It's like, really? So Low HUD had that hotel as one of the areas where they abduct children and they do child porn in there. So we're right here at one of the capitals for this. And again, they knowingly do. This is a big, huge issue. My wife is an event and meeting planner. All of them have training in her organization on how to recognize illegal activity like child sexual assault and everything else, with how to recognize it. Every hotel chain has that. Exploitation of minors and other people. Signs and maybe it's worth a program. So this is a huge issue here. And I think this missing children thing, quote-unquote missing children, the child labor thing that we routinely talk about here on this program, and everything else, it's all related here. My opinion, right? Now, go into the OSHA violation. Okay, we'll go into the OSHA violations here. Okay, we're going to go on over to the Department of Labor. Here, hold on. Okay. The news releases, the Department of Labor. Let's do a share screen here. I'm a little, it may seem I'm disorganized. Well, guess what? Not disorganized. Had everything set up, but we had issues here. All right. Here we have the U.S. Department of Labor news releases. We're going to click on that. And again, they're working with New York to promote labor law compliance and child labor enforcement. This is from today out of Syracuse, New York. Judge affirmed serious violations against Rochester roofing contractor that exposed workers to four-story falls from the Village of Newark Municipal Building. All right. An administrative law judge has ordered a Rochester commercial roofing company to pay $16,782 in penalties for two serious fall protection and ladder safety violations after investigation and litigation by USDOL. The company had contested citations issued by Department of Labor's OSHA that alleged safety violations, including that the employer failed to protect an employee from a 40-foot fall hazard as they stood near the edge of a roof to guide the crane's operation. All right, two citations, and they went to trial on this. Following a trial before the Occupational Safety and Health Commission, the judge announced on September 19th that the department's office of the solicitor proved Elmer W. Davis had knowledge of the fall protection violation because the violation was readily visible to the company's foreman and the company had failed to implement its safety program adequately. The judge rejected the company's contention. Again, very, very difficult to prove in a court of law. The judge rejected the company's contention that its defense of unpreventable employee misconduct should be automatically credited based on an unrelated prior case involving the same defense. I'm told by attorneys it's extremely difficult to make that defense once, let alone twice, and be successful with that. How about the, I don't know. How about hiring foremen that are not afraid to point out and manage their people and hiring, that would go, how about if, I don't know. You can't, it's like this. If you ever saw that Jim Carrey movie, Liar, Liar, right? Client calls him up on the phone. And his secretary says, so-and-so wants to know is in jail. What should he do? And he goes over and he says, stop breaking the law. Expletive. Right? Something to that effect. That's what basically what's becoming a common line. How do you prevent workplace injuries and illnesses? How about we follow the law? Novel concept here. Really? We got to follow the law? Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. And again, I was going to go with this as topic number two here. If someone is okay with breaking the law, do you think it only is going to pertain to OSHA regulations? It's going to pertain to a lot of regulations and a lot of laws. Child labor law, regular run-of-the-mill labor law, HR type stuff. Are they going to cheat you on a contract? Are they going to do work that is substandard if they're okay with breaking the law? And what's the law? The law is that you have a right to a safe and healthful workplace free of recognized hazards, and you as the employee have a responsibility to obey the law as much as everybody else, but there's no legal authority here. Controlling legal authority, if you're familiar with that phrase from the 1990s. For that, we don't find employees in the United States, at least not yet. I'm not aware of anybody proposing that, but, it's like this. The close is the copy of my decision. Here's a notice of decision. Right? And decision and order. And such a company is a commercial roofing company based in Rochester. On October 4th, 2022, the crew was replacing the flat roof of a four-story municipal building in Newark, New York. A compliance safety and health officer was driving. This is doing a drive-by. Notice a worker standing on the edge of this roof without any fall protection. Apparently, right? And signaling to the operator of the crane that was hoisting materials onto the roof. The compliance officer stopped driving from the parking lot about 200 feet away, continued observing the worker on the roof's edge. Then, long story short, he went there and did an inspection. Right? The compliance officer went onto the municipal building's roof, and when he noticed a portable ladder the three employees were on the bulkhead of the roof had used to access the roof was extended less than 3 feet beyond. They issued a citation of three serious violations. Citation one, employee had been signaling the operator on the edge, right? No fall protection. Citation number two, the three employees on the bulkhead roof and alleged a violation of standards that prescribes permissible means of fall protection for employees engaged in roofing work on low slope roofs. Citation 3 pertained to the employees who had used a portable ladder to access the bulkhead roof and everything else with that. Now, the citation proposed penalties totaling $26,106. And with that, these are some of the defenses apparently somebody raised here. The most substantial issues of this for the decision are, did the CO's entry, compliance office entry, onto and activities on the municipal building's rooftop violate constitutional protection against unreasonable searches and seizures? Decision, no. Did the secretary prove by preponderance of the evidence that an employee had bypassed modular guardrails in a hoist area while signaling to a crane? Yes. It's a violation of, here, I'm going to download this here. Right? Don't want to lose this one. Yes. Right? Citation item one. Prove that he violated 501(b)(3). Did the secretary prove by a preponderance of the evidence that the contractor had constructive knowledge and that the employee had bypassed the modular guardrail to guide the crane operator on the ground? Yes. All right. EW had constructive knowledge because its program was inadequate. The secretary collaterally e-stopped and from challenging the contractor's unforeseeable employee misconduct defense and the violation, blah, 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 blah. Decision, no. Elements of collateral estoppel are not present. Did the contractor prove the preponderance of evidence that the violation of blah, blah, blah was on UEM, right? Unforeseeable employee misconduct? No, not proven. Did the secretary prove by preponderance of the evidence that employees on the low-slope Vulcan roof were not protected? No, didn't prove that. Did the secretary prove by preponderance of the evidence that employees accessed the bulkhead roof with a portable ladder whose side rails did not extend above the upper landing surface? The answer is yes. So the previous one, right, the secretary did not prove that the employees on the low vault slope roof were not protected from a safety monitoring system. What's a safety monitoring system? Hey, get away from the edge. Hey, get away from the edge. And then they throw a wrench at you or a hammer. The roofer's hammer, probably, after about 5 minutes. All right, so citations 1 and 3 are affirmed. Citation 2 is vacated, and the penalties are 16,072 are assessed. My question is, how much should they pay the attorney here? And they have a finding of fact and everything else. Pretty interesting. We don't go through a lot of this stuff, but we do go through it here. And I am sorry that we did not share that one. Oh, too bad. Oh, well, you can look it up here. Hate it when things don't work the way that they're supposed to. All right. So is that 8:51? What else do we want to talk about? Pope, we'll talk about the Pope. Pope Francis issued the fourth encyclical of his papacy on Thursday, denouncing a world that is losing its heart during times of global turmoil marked by wars of socioeconomic disparities and uses of technology that threaten our humanity. Okay. In the document titled Dilexit Nos, Latin for He Loves Us, was issued to coincide with the 350th anniversary of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque's first apparition, which helped spread devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, revealing his love of humanity. The pontiff did not cite specific examples of global turmoil in the 220-paragraph document, right? Although he refers to stuff regularly. I don't know. Well, no, AI, I mean, I use it. Shock moment, mass 6-hour brawl erupts in church as priests and worshipers fire tear gas and throw chairs at each other. Where was this? Hordes of pro-Ukrainian Christians fought in a bloody war against the priests in a bid to take over St. Michael's Cathedral, the largest church in the country. Where was this? Oh, man, pictures are pretty graphic here. The fight came on as the Ukrainians tried to quash the influence in the Russian Orthodox Church, which backs Putin, and his invasion of Ukraine. Supporters of the Moscow Patriarch attempted to storm the cathedral, whose worshippers had opted to belong to the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And the Bishop Smiter was flying off his head in a fist fight. Guns were reported, blazed out, but not used. It's still not saying where this was. Metropolitan Fedosi. Where is that? Hold on, I'll get that. Where it is. It's a snack. It is in Crimea, right? It is on the Black Sea. So I don't know where that is, if it's in Russian-occupied territory or annexed territory or Ukrainian, right now. So I don't know. Big problems going on out there in the world. Okay, what else do we have here? Now, there's a lot of talk about lead out there. All right, so EPA has a lot of information on lead. So EPA actions protect families and children from lead exposure in New York and New Jersey. This is off the EPA website. Let's share it with you right now. EPA actions protect families and children from lead exposure in New York and New Jersey. EPA is observing Children's Health Month and Lead Poisoning Prevention Week by highlighting actions taken over the past year to protect children from lead exposure. I don't get this here with this. Again, this is going on for many, many years. We've known about this in the regulatory environment since the 1970s. What the bleep is going on? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what's going on here with this. In September 2024, a demolition contractor that performed demolitions of over 650 residential properties in New York City, right, between 2016 and 2019, agreed via a proposed consent decree to comply with lead paint regulations and pay a $100,000 penalty. This other one is a well-known company, a contractor that performed renovation work at hundreds of residential apartments in five different buildings in Manhattan agreed to comply with lead paint regulations and pay $170,000 in violations to several other requirements of the residential RRP, Residential Renovation Repair and Painting. In September, another very, very well-known company, a general contractor, agreed to comply with lead paint removal requirements and pay more than $600,000 in penalties. Again, I mean, maybe it's worth it for we go over lead paint issues. I mean, I cut my teeth on this in the environmental field here up at West Point, New York, with where mismanagement of on-base housing for the personnel there. Yes, and wouldn't you know it, when it hit the news and everything, I offered to testify to in front of Congress, and you know, you get blown off by senators and everything. Well, you know, I don't know. Democrats, Republicans, they don't want to hear it. Okay, still have all the evidence here, guys. So. That's what I have here. What's amazing is that I met somebody from that office, right, that manages West Point, and I told them some of the things. She says, that was before my time, but I heard a lot of stories back then. So that's what I have for tonight. Sorry we went off on politics here for too long, but again, a lot of the people out there are not they're just freaking out. I mean, you hear it in people's voices. You go out, Jim, I'm worried about the election. No, I don't share who I vote for anymore. And I said, well, you know, who are you voting for, Jim? Well, I'll tell you who I'm not voting for. That's for sure. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for or anything. I made my decision a long time ago on this. But don't let this election stuff bring you down. Regardless of how this is, on November 6th, let's try to get along here. Get along. November 5th, let's get along. How about tomorrow we get along? How about we do that tomorrow? I'm going to be calling for peace. I want people to get along and everything else. So for Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel, and I will see you tomorrow night. And remember, we're going to be over in Pomona, New York at the ASSP event at the Fire Training Center.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
If you're still there, we're going to be going into some more music here.
I need the heat to get me rolling, burning bright like morning's golden. Fuel me up with dreams I'm holding, spark the air, let's get it going. Oxygen fills my lungs, I'm breathing. Every whisper feels like fleeting. Fires dance with no retreating. Hold me tight, let's chase this feeling. With heat and fuel and air we soar. Flames ignite, can't ask for more. In the night we'll start a roar. Dance until our feet are sore. Chemical magic in the night. Chain reaction takes its flight. Lose control but feel so right. Together we ignite the light. Break the links, the fire fades. Shadow lands and silent shades. Separate, we lose the place. Lost within the smoke. Together we ignite the light. Break the links, the fire.